Welcome to Arizona Boomer Radio with the Boomer and the Babe. Arizona Boomer Radio gives voice to 1.4 million boomers throughout the Grand Canyon State and beyond. Each show has a different guest and a different topic. We hope you enjoy the relaxed conversational style of the show. Nothing fancy, just boomers sitting around the table talking about stuff. Now here are the hosts of the show, Pete Peters and Deborah Brown.
Yes, indeed, and good morning on the West Coast, and good afternoon or midday on the East Coast. It is 11 o'clock here, 9 o'clock here in the West on Wednesday, September 12th, 2012, broadcasting from our studios in Sun City, Arizona. I'm Pete Peters. Deborah is with clients today, so she will not be partaking in the conversation. And I'm sure she would like to because she knows our guest, as do I, from having been on the shows in the past when we were on terrestrial radio. Before we get into talking with our guest today, I want to make sure that everybody has the opportunity to think about going to boomerandthebabe.com, see what Boomer and the Babe Incorporated is involved in, which is much more than just this radio program. We have now two radio programs. This one, Arizona Boomer Radio Show at 9 o'clock, and we have the original Boomer and the Babe Show at 11 o'clock Monday through Friday. We're going to have a lot of different guests on both. Arizona Boomer Radio is going to concentrate on boomers and businesses and content that's in Arizona. The other is broad-based, as it always has been. And as I said, I'm Pete Peters, and my guest today is Ms. Sid Hoffman. Sid is a guest that's been with us before a couple of times on terrestrial radio, and we like to have Sid back because she's always got something new and exciting that she's involved in. Sid is a talented serial entrepreneur, having created and sold two very successful businesses, one an elementary school and a fitness center. I know she had a great fitness center. My daughter was enrolled in it for a while, and she launched her newest venture, EatPlayHug.com, to motivate real women over 40 to get healthy and stay healthy. Sid Hoffman, welcome back to the Boomer and the Babe Arizona Boomer Radio Show.
It's good to be back, Pete. Thank you so much.
Well, I tell you, it's always fun to have you here. If you remember, we start out with your little two-minute movie that Deborah would ask you for if she were here, and also I'll ask you for it. And other than the fact that I just kind of gave a little of your bio, tell us about Sid Hoffman and what Sid Hoffman has been up to prior to being on the show here today. And if you want to go into a little more detail, which we can do in the interview portion as well, as far as your other two businesses you've had, but give us some background on Sid Hoffman.
Thanks, Pete. I started out as a classroom teacher, and then I opened up an elementary school that grew and grew and grew. I sold my elementary school to a wonderful lady, and it is still in existence and doing great. Then I traveled around the world, hiking and climbing, and while I was in Italy, I was doing some yoga outside, and I said, I want to have a fitness studio. So I came back, and I did my homework, and I opened a fitness studio, grew and grew and grew the fitness studio, sold that to one of my teachers. Then I decided I want to write a book, so I wrote All Day Energy, and now I am having a blast. I think the other two businesses were lots of fun, but talking around the world and doing conferences and helping people one-on-one tweak how they move and how they eat is so much fun. And that's what I'm doing. Oh, I have to tell you, Friday I am leaving to climb in the Swiss Alps. I am getting away from everything for about 12 days, 13 other crazy women, and no technology, and we're just going to go have fun.
When you say no technology, what does that mean?
Means we're not going to check our email, we're not going to bring any smart devices, no beeping, no texting, just fresh air, climbing, good conversation. I'm bringing lots of books to read. If I wake up early, I want to read a little bit, and nothing electronical. Nothing. I don't want to know what's happening in the world. I just want to really enjoy the vacation.
Well, as fast as things are happening in the world, Sid, I hope when you come back after 12 days of incognito, you'll still be here and still be the same.
I hope so.
Hopefully it hasn't blown up in our face. So how would you say that this quest of yours began? What motivated the quest? I mean, obviously you had a motivation to open your school. Let's talk about that. And then do these things come like a lightning bolt to you, or is it something that evolves over time?
Or something that
fills a need, possibly?
I think a little bit of the second and the third. I think something that evolves over time and something that fills a need. And I just kind of, I spend a lot of time in quiet and then a lot of time in activity. My husband jokes because he says I have two modes, either quiet as a, you know, a church mouse, or noisy as all get out. So, you know, I'm busy and running around like a lunatic. So I only know those two kind of modes. So it makes for an interesting life, because I do take time to reflect and figure out what I want. When I opened my school, I was just a motivated mom. I really couldn't find a good school for my daughter. And I said, I can do this. I want to do this. And I, you know, I really love the research and the creating as much as the actual product that comes at the end. So I think I'm just a real creative person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no. And it's just really fun. I love what I do. I really get into projects, and I really encourage people to do what they really, really enjoy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, did you have an education background? Did you go and have a degree in education or anything before you opened your school?
I do. I had taught for 16 years. I have a master's degree in education and a bachelor's degree in education and mathematics. So I have a good business sense. I've, you know, taken a lot of accounting and business, and I knew what I wanted. And then I went around to different places and looked and saw what was out there and said, "Oh, you know, I really like this. I don't really like this, but I can tweak it." And I just think sometimes when you just see what's out there and then you feel a need, it really works out well.
Sure. Now, was the school here in Arizona?
It was. It's still in Chandler. And I started out in a shopping center with three classrooms. And when I sold it 12 years later, I had grown it to 6 acres and over 500 students.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was really, really fun for me. So I turned 50. My daughter was going off to college, and I just sold my business. It was really a fun time.
That's amazing. That's amazing. So, and the school is still in existence and doing well today, I would imagine.
It is doing great, and I want to say it's like almost 20 years old now. I sold it after 12, so yeah, doing great.
Wow. So what motivated you? You said you had a need. You saw a need for a different type of school. Obviously, aside from the Department of Education schools and so on and so forth that we have in Arizona, what was it that prompted you to look for something different?
Well, every school that I looked at had a very limited curriculum. I wanted a school where young people could learn a foreign language at an early age, do music, art, math, science, really hands-on, but also have a great playground. I just felt like I wanted everything. Kids are sponges, and so are adults. When we let our minds, you know, focus and learn that new things, we really grow and grow. And it just kind of evolved. I kept saying, well, you know, this school doesn't have this. This one, you know, doesn't have this. This school didn't have a before-school program and an after-school program. I wanted a school that had everything. So my school was open from 7 in the morning to 6 o'clock at night, and parents could be part of it. We encouraged families to put volunteer hours in. So it was different. You know, it was very creative. The place had a good feel to it. It was very down earth. Most of the time I came into school with a short sleeve shirt and a pair of shorts, and I was right on the floor with the kids. I would be the guest reader or the special mathematician of the day. And that's what made it different. We had a different environment, you know, really creative, really happy.
Very good, very good. So you sold your school, made a ton of money.
Enough to retire, Pete. I felt really good.
There you go. Mm-hmm. And so now you're traveling the world, and you go to Italy, and you're climbing mountains and maybe even some relics and temples and whatever, churches, climbing to the spires, and you are doing some early morning yoga, and you decided you wanted to have a yoga studio. Now, was your yoga studio that you had again in Chandler, correct?
It was.
Was it designed like the great outdoors of Italy? Was the Vatican on the wall?
You know, that is a really good question. No, but you know what? You know what? It was painted inside light blue, and it was peaceful, like looking at the sky. And it, you know, it had light woods. It was very airy. It had beautiful glass windows in it. As soon as I saw this space, I knew it would be great for yoga. It used to be a karate studio, so it was really quite funny because all the walls were red and had black trim. So we stripped everything off and we lightened everything. And I wanted a place where people could practice yoga that didn't look like a yoga person. I wanted a place for real people, and I knew I wanted more than yoga. I wanted them to be able to take a boot camp class in the morning and run at 6 o'clock in the morning. I wanted kids to be doing yoga. I wanted family yoga. And that's how I met your daughter, because I met her at a 5 o'clock in the morning class that she and I did together for many years. And, you know, where do you get to do that? And, you know, she's a mom. I was a mom. I still have a mom, but my daughter's grown up. You know, where you can exercise while your kids are asleep. And, you know, real people, you don't have to dress really fancy. And that's how it really came about, because we're in Italy. We were just wearing old clothes. It was first thing in the morning. The air was kind of crisp. And it was beautiful. And I said, you know, I just want a place where people can do this, but, you know, in Arizona.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't think my daughter's doing yoga anymore. I could be wrong. I know that she's doing CrossFit, and she is lifting, and she is jumping up and down steps, and she is jumping or lifting or running through or over tires, and she's doing all this stuff, and I'm like, you're crazy.
She is strong.
She's always been strong.
There were people in that class of all different ages. That's another thing I love, too, at the studio and about that early morning class. We had people as young as like 20 years old, and then we had people in their 60s that were coming and running and jumping and lifting and doing yoga. I loved it. I mean, I loved just the relationships. It was men and women. There were kids. So, yeah, I miss that. I miss both of my school and my yoga studio many times. During the week, I think about them because the children and the energy, the positive energy. But now I kind of can use that energy in different ways and help corporations and help individuals feel more, you know, more terrific and more energetic. So sure. It's the same kind of thing. I think all of the things I do involve taking hard concepts and making them simple and fun.
Mm-hmm. So now you mentioned before that you're going to be going and doing some climbing. You're leaving what, tomorrow?
I leave, yes, Friday, 2 days.
Oh, Friday, now. 2 days.
Yeah,
where are you going?
I'm going to three different cities, and the only one I can remember is Zermatt. The other two I don't even remember. The whole trip has been planned by two of the 14 of us, and I have done nothing to prepare. I'm talking to you from a room with very little on the floor, getting ready to go into my suitcase. I've got a lot more work to do, but I am jazzed and excited, and I'm meeting them in Zurich at a train station, and hopefully we'll all connect and we'll have 12 beautiful days together.
Wow, that sounds like fun. Now, what does your husband say when you're off gallivanting around?
He loves it. His ideal vacation is to go away for 3 days. So we do trips together, like San Francisco, where my daughter is, or Las Vegas to see a show. That kind of thing. He thinks that's the coolest thing. He loves it. I come back all charged up, all invigorated, and he's like, more power to you.
Yeah. As you have so much energy. I mean, when I see you in person, you're just, it's like you're bouncing off the walls. I mean, sit, come back here, sit still. And I could just imagine your husband going, whoa, what is happening in my life? You're a little tornado.
and Pete, you have to know, Daniel is as calm and quiet as can be. So it really is a case of opposites attracting. And I appreciate him so much. He really is very grounding and very calm and terrific.
Uh-huh. It sounds like a wonderful thing you got going. But we just got a little 2-year-old dog, Boxer, from the Boxer Rescue. And we had one that we unfortunately lost, and she was an old girl and not feeling well. And we've brought this 2-year-old into the house, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I got to go for a walk every morning and every night with her just to calm her down so she'll sleep through the night. It reminds me all of a sudden of going back in the day when I had little ones running around, a little one running around with all her boundless energy. Now I've got a 4-legged one, and your husband's got you. And
I can imagine,
but I'm glad he's a very calm and laid-back kind of guy. That's good. He probably lets you do the energy stuff for the family.
He does. But you know what? He's so healthy, and he really models all the principles that I talk to people about, you know, staying healthy. He does that in such a calm way, and he's going to turn 60 in December, and I don't know anybody who is as fit and as strong as he is, just, you know, that's not a professional athlete of some kind.
Right.
Pete, you know, because he just runs, he eats well, he meditates every day, which I don't have the patience for that one. You know, just really good habits, you know, so it's really a pleasure. We get to talk, we get to learn from each other, so that's been fun. You know, I've tweaked and learned, and he's learned from me. I never lifted weights until I met him, and then realized that, yeah, hey, girls should lift weights too. Mm-hmm. You know, those kinds of things we've helped each other through.
Sure. Yeah, well, Chris is enjoying her CrossFit. I know that. And then she's also, I think, her and her husband are both doing some running, getting ready for a half marathon they're going to run in Vegas. So those, all it does is give me an opportunity to have granddaughters. That's fine. and then I can spoil them, give them a sugar high, send them home. Let's jump into your latest adventure. Not the one that you're going to have, the one that you're currently working on, which is your new website. What is the name of that site?
My new website is All Day Energy, and it's promoting my book and my speaking engagements and my retreats. I just started some retreats for women to help them so that they can have fun during the retreat, but they can also come back home with some healthy habits.
Okay, let's talk about these retreats. You hear about these people going to these boot camps, and you hear about these people going to these, well, I'm going to call them retreats as a generic term, and they go to these sweat lodges, and all kinds of weird things happen, and in one case there is tragedy, and so on and so forth, and they're going to, quote, test themselves possibly. Is there an element of testing yourself at your retreat, or do you take into account that there would be fat, bald guys like me and very slim and fit people like yourself? How do you approach the individuals? Because I'm sure there are many different body types
mm-hmm.
and fitness degrees also. How do you do that at your retreat so that everybody can participate and get something from it?
You know what? I don't have a boot camp or a, you know, do this and die kind of a mentality. I really feel like it's important for people to think about what they want, and then I help them make small changes, because when they leave me, if I overdo it with them, they're not going to do anything.
Sure.
You know, I know I've gone to different seminars of different things, not even just fitness seminars, just things. If you can't make it down to earth, people are not going to do it. So basically what we do is we just really figure out what we want. Each person decides what they want to get out of the next, you know, the next many, many years of their life. And then we break it down on how to get to your goal. So if my goal is to get from a size, you know, 12 pants to a size 4 pants, then, you know, I can do that, but I can only do it one step at a time. I'm not going to do it successfully by starving myself. I'm not going to do it successfully by signing up for a marathon if I haven't run before. So we just talk about small things, and then the math teacher in me usually kicks in, and I usually draw a number line, and we talk about, okay, here's a good first step, and then later on down the road, this is what we're going to do on the timeline, and then, you know. And it just, it makes it approachable and doable. And then for the weekend or the week, depending on how long we're together, we just talk about things and do things together. Like we talk about what a good walking pace is, and then we go out and do it. We cook together. I'm not much of a cook, so it's pretty simple. You know, I don't expect people to go crazy. In fact, it's easier to eat healthy because you don't have to cook a lot of the things. You chop them up and you eat it. You know, we just kind of try to get rid of a habit by the end of the time. Like, you know, so if you're drinking a couple of sodas, probably by the end of the time you see me, you can't even look at a soda.
Right, right.
You know, little things.
Sure. Now, what is a good walking pace?
A good walking pace means you're moving your arms, and your arms are kind of like at a right angle, and they're you know, kind of almost hitting the side of your body, and you can barely have a conversation. Like you're with Deborah, and you know you're not huffing and puffing, but you're just able to, you know, to talk with her. Have to be struggling a little bit. You know, it's almost like your dog is pulling you, and he's pulling you for the whole walk.
Right.
And, you know, by the end of the time, when you come back home, whether it's a 10-minute walk or a 20-minute walk or a 30-minute walk, your shirt's a little bit wet. You have a little perspiration. You're ready for a glass of water when you come home. But you're not like you're falling down where, you know, you need to take a nap immediately.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I've heard that conversational thing before, and that seems to work. And at what point, if you're interested in picking up the pace a little bit, at what point would you pick up the pace? For instance, first of all, some of us, myself included, can't do that brisk walk for a number of reasons, but nonetheless, I'm really good at strolling. I'm excellent at sauntering. I'm really good at sitting down and catching my breath. How do you gradually pick up the pace? And then if you're doing your brisk walk and you want to just pick it up a little bit more than that, I mean, is it something that you just go for a while till you're feeling like maybe I should slow down and then you go back to the brisk walk or maybe even slower? How does that work?
Well, the alternate where you kind of go back and forth sounds like a good plan. I usually encourage people to start about 3 minutes of walking, just walk. And then if you're feeling kind of good, you know, pick it up a little bit. You know, move your feet a little faster. Pretend you're trying to catch a bus. Move a little bit. And then when you're a little bit tired, then, you know, go back to a walk. But, you know, don't make it like you're waiting a line at the movies and you're taking one step ahead, you know, that kind of thing. Really, you know, kind of move your body. But the funny thing is, if you stay with it, I know you're saying, you know, it's hard to do a brisk walk, and that makes sense to me, but if you were to stay with it and commit to doing 5 little walking sessions a week, and even if you did 5 or 10 minutes at a time, you would notice that your pace would pick up if you were consistent with it. And that's the thing I love about walking. If you are consistent, before you know it, somebody's saying, wow, your speed picked up and you didn't even realize it happened. The other great place to walk is in the swimming pool. That's my favorite place to walk. You can walk in place or walk down the length of the pool or the width of the pool and just move your arms, and you are getting a double workout because you're getting the movement and the aerobics, which is great for your heart. Then you're also getting resistance, which is like lifting weights. When you move your legs and your arms through the water, they're like long levers when you move your arms, and it's toning your whole body.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've noticed myself, that when I'm, like I say, I've got to take this, we've got to take this dog for a walk, otherwise she'll drive us nuts. She's just full of boundless energy. So I got up this morning. I always have coffee at 6 o'clock with my 89-year-old mother who lives in this under the same roof. And before coffee, I had the dog out. We went. We have a half around the block program that we do, and I walk that through, and I walked that pretty briskly this morning, I must admit. And I felt, when I came back, I felt pretty doggone good, because I noticed that I had done it at a faster pace, and that I had walked the same distance, but it didn't take me as long. And so I think what you're saying is also very true, that you can start to pick it up, and all of a sudden you can realize that you're doing a little better.
Yeah, and if you walk with someone, it's a lot of fun. I have a walking group that I do either kind of walk, or we jog a little bit on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays. I meet two other ladies, and it is fun. Before we know it, we've talked about everything, solved all the world's problems, and had a good walk.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's great. And you're walking with your dog, that's a person. You know, you walk with your partner, walk with a friend. And if you make a commitment to walk early, you get it out of the way and you feel energetic all day long. A 10-minute brisk walk gives you 2 hours of energy.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting you say that, because when I got back this morning, I was ready to go. I mean, I really was. And it does feel good. There's no doubt about it. And I'm looking forward to getting Deborah to come along. But finding Deborah on her feet and not horizontal at 6 o'clock in the morning is almost impossible.
Well,
so
still the weather.
The weather was very nice this morning. So I'm gonna have, and actually yesterday I took two walks, one in the morning and one at night, so with the dog. So I'm gonna have to get her to start walking at least the one at night with us. So anyhow, that's my little story.
Wonderful. I remember the feeling. I always tell people, they say, I forgot about how I felt. Remember that feeling, because then you'll want to do it again.
Yeah, absolutely. And it takes 6 weeks to form a habit.
It's somewhere between 21 to 30 days to get a habit going. And if you do the habit 5 days a week, you have a better shot at it.
Yes, exactly. Sid, I have a couple of commercial little messages here that we play halfway through the program. So I'm going to do that now, and then we'll come back to talking about some of these points that you've, 8 characteristics of happy people. How to leave stress behind and a few of those things, and then also have you tell us about your website, one about the hugs. And we'll do that right after these words.
Boomer the Babe are the publishers of Boomer Series books. Our authors have their own shows on the Boomer the Babe Network. We encourage you to listen. Ron Naraki, author of the forthcoming book, The 10 Commandments of Investing, is the host of Wealth DNA, a financial show about real estate investment. Learn how to build and manage your portfolio. Ron hosts the show, and he always has good information to pass along, as do his guests. Listen to Wealth DNA on the second and fourth Monday of the month at 8 a.m. Arizona time. Tom Liggering's another Boomer Series author. His book, Success or Failure, The Choice is Yours, is the basis of the show he does with his broadcast partner, Dr. Terry Munther. Listen to Success or Failure with Tom and Terry on the fourth Wednesday of every month at 9 a.m. Arizona time. Learn how you can maximize your performance in business and in life. The methods you employ can either help or hinder. The choice is yours. The Boomer and the Babe are proud to be affiliated with Valley View Community Food Bank, where the food is always free. Valley View is now serving Phoenix from their new 36,000 square foot location at West Peoria and 107th Avenue in Sun City, Arizona. The new location houses the food bank, Feeding Arizona, and the Valley View Thrift Store. Feeding Arizona delivers food to other food banks and food pantries that are in need. If you're looking for a 501c3 to support, go to valleyviewcommunityfoodbank.com. All donations are welcome, be it food, money, or volunteer hours. No donation is too small. Get a hold of Jesse Ramirez, founder and director, and say, "I want to help." Valley View Community Food Bank, where the food is always free.
And we're back on Arizona Boomer Radio with Pete Peters and Deborah Brown, the Boomer the Babe, and Deborah's not here. We're talking with our guest, serial entrepreneur, superwoman, mountain climber, book author, web entrepreneur, Sid Hoffman, yoga expert.
Who is this girl?
School founder, all around superwoman, Sid Hoffman, and you amaze me every time I have you on a show. And as I said at the start of this one, that you'd been on our show two times before, and you've always got something new going on, and you've always got something new to add, and now you've got this book, the All Day Energy, 100 ways to boost your energy now, and in there are some things about reflexology, I'm assuming, and so on and so forth. You've got some things to eat for the 2 p.m. slump. You have some sleep tips and so on and so forth. But I want to get into your 8 characteristics of happy people. The first one is you devote a great amount of time to family and friends. That seems to just to be very basic, but yet very, very true.
It is, and I keep reading, in popular magazines, and I hear it on the news, that we are very social people, and we need to keep that. That's the thing that keeps us energetic and youthful and young. When we do things with other people, when we communicate on Facebook, even that counts. When we're with people we love and doing things for people we love, we are happy, and happy means terrific. Happy means feeling terrific, feeling energetic, living happily.
The next one you have here is they are comfortable expressing gratitude. Now, I firmly believe that there is not enough gratitude expressed. There, people might be grateful, but they don't tell somebody that they're grateful for what they've done. They don't express that gratitude. How does that help you be a happy people?
Well, I think it helps everyone, the person who is expressing the gratitude and the person who is receiving it. We are in need of praise and compliments. We seek it. It helps every pore of our body. It is, it's cool, and it feels good to tell someone. If you can't tell them, then write them a note or write in your own journal about what you're grateful for. We spend a lot of time during the day thinking of negative things, hearing negative things on the news and in the media. It's really nice to appreciate all the great things that are happening. There's so many good things every day.
And there are a lot of good things. Sometimes you have to look a little bit harder to find them, but it's probably well worth the time and energy spent doing so. The next one that you have here, and I don't know that we'll go through all of them, but it's be the first to offer a helping hand. I think that one is really good. I mean, I wrote a blog, and I'm going to preface this by saying that I wrote a blog not long ago, and the blog was basically, do you really mean it? If somebody is in distress, somebody has lost a loved one or a family member or whatever the case might be, and the person that you're talking to says, well, call me if there's anything I can do. Let me know if there's anything I can do. And they say that, and my question was in the blog that I posed, do they really mean it? Why would they really be there if somebody called and says, you offered your help, and this is what I need you to do? Was it just a nicety, knowing full well that this person probably really wasn't going to call? Or are they really standing at the ready to help if called? And that kind of fit in here where when I said be ready to offer a helping hand, but I would have to add to that, be ready to offer a helping hand and mean it.
And mean it and do it wholeheartedly and don't hold a grudge because you had to help somebody, when they asked you for help. That's beautiful. It's a win-win. You feel good and they feel good. Really mean it. And then the other thing I hear sometimes is that when somebody does call you and say, I really could use your help, then and you say, I really don't feel like doing that. Well, you offered to help. Then this is how the person's expressing it. It's hard enough for us to ask another human being to help us. Mm-hmm. And when they do, if you can drop everything and help that person or tweak your schedule to make that happen, just go for it. You will feel like $1 million.
Happy people also express optimism when imagining their futures.
We You know, there's two ways to look. You try to live in the present moment as much as you can, but you do have to look at what's going to happen in the future. And if you look at it in a positive way and you take it step by step, you get less overwhelmed, less stressed, and you feel good. And so optimism is a beautiful thing to have. It helps the person that you're talking with and living with. It also helps yourself, which when you do something kind for yourself, it helps everyone around you.
Yes. And the very next one that's there is they savor life's pleasures and live in the moment. That's kind of goes hand in glove with what you were just saying. You have to live in the moment, but there's nothing wrong in looking for the future as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They make physical activity a daily habit. Now, I know you're big on that one, and we've gotten that message loud and clear every time we've talked to you. Get out and move.
Really? Yeah, 10 minutes a day. You really have to move. And if you can't find 10 minutes to move, you've overbooked your schedule. I mean, really, even when Friday I'm going to go to the airport, and I'm going to be on that plane for a long time, but I'm going to find 10 minutes to walk around the airport, even just getting through security and then walking to my gate. If I can do that in a brisk way, I can get my 10 minutes in that way.
Well, and 10 minutes isn't that much. I mean, come on, people, you know.
No.
I can count any number of ways that I've spent 10 minutes that I really didn't need to spend that 10 minutes doing that thing. And it usually involves sitting on one's can watching one's idiot box.
Mm-hmm.
Believe me, there's not a show goes by that you can't miss 10 minutes of.
And with the way everything can be recorded these days, it's ridiculous. The other thing is, you know, sometimes people will tell me, well, 10 minutes isn't really enough. Well, most of the time what really happens in actuality is you start for 10 minutes and you're having so much fun talking to the person. Or in your case, Pete, I love your story because, like, you'll walk with your dog for 10 minutes in the morning and then you'll get another 10 minutes at night. And throughout your day, you know, maybe you'll decide when the weather is nice to do another 10 minutes midday with your partner, with your dog. So it really does. It's fun. It's actually fun to move your body. You feel good. You don't feel stiff. You don't feel 1,000 years old.
Well, I do tell you I am enjoying it. This is something that I think is, if you do, I'm going to say this, and please let's discuss it if you don't agree, and even if you do agree. I think this is very important, and that is that happy people are deeply committed to lifelong goals. They hear all the time, you got to write it down, put it on the refrigerator, have a goal, have direction, and so on and so forth, and something to strive for. And you're saying that that is a good one of the 8 characteristics of happy people, and I agree with that. You have to have an objective other than just watching the next television show. You need to have that objective so you have something to look forward to, something to strive towards.
It's true. I think and even if you don't write it down, sometimes you just know it in your gut. And the idea about your goal is that it changes. You know, you may go down a path for a little bit, and then you see something else you'd rather do instead, and that's okay. That's a good thing, to trust your gut and to be a daily learner, learn one new thing every day at least. And think about what you want. Take some classes. I did a really crazy thing a few years ago. My daughter decided to come home. She lives in San Francisco. She came home and she took a class in Arizona, and I signed up for the class with her, and it was an anatomy class, and I hadn't been in a college class in forever. We took anatomy together. My brain seemed like it really expanded, and I felt like I was on, I don't know, I felt like my teacher was giving me a B12 shot every day. I was just so invigorated. I was sharper, and I had a hoot of a time. I had such fun taking a class with my daughter, and I still remember a lot of the material because I took a class that was interesting to me, an area that, I loved the body, but it was hard as all get out. We took a 4-credit science class together. Wow. But I'm so glad I did it. I was in my mid-50s, and I'm taking a class with kids in their 20s, and it was one of the best things I ever did.
What's that like going to a higher education situation with young people? People, much, you know, that could be your kids. Is that, other than the fact that it's invigorating, what do you find out about the current crop of young people that we have coming through?
At this class, they were such good quality people. They were caring. It was like, I think they all took me under their wing. I mean, I would do labs. We were doing dissections of a cat and of a guinea pig. And people would come help me, you know, and it was great. I mean, I hadn't been in a laboratory in forever. They were driven. I felt like they knew what they were, where they were going. I was really proud of them. I think this new generation is a kind generation, smart, funny. I love them. I think it was crazy for me to do this, and I think it's important to kind of push yourself. Along with setting goals means putting yourself in uncomfortable situations every now and then, and this was certainly uncomfortable. The first week, I think I cried a couple of times, but I think once I got used to it, it was pretty good.
Well, let me ask you this. Is the anatomy the same as you remember it from when you were in school?
I never took anatomy. All these classes, you know, I never had anatomy. Even when I did my yoga certification, I mean, we had like one day of anatomy, but we never had a lab and saw bones and what they look like. And, you know, I took a knee apart. I mean, that was so cool. Now I know how my knee works. So now when I hike, I can kind of, I know what it's doing. I mean, it was so incredible.
So here's your next challenge in life. You are now going to become an orthopedic surgeon.
Only on TV. Only as a pretend doctor. No. But, you know, I have so much respect for people who do that. And, you know, I must thank my professor was amazing. I mean, she was incredible. She took tough concepts and broke them down. She, truly a master teacher.
Well, it's nice when you have that, and I'm sure you probably are much the same when you had your classes as well. So, well, we're kind of getting down to some almost the short rows here. Why don't we take this opportunity to have you give your shameless self-promotion? Tell us about your book as far as where we can get it, what does it cost, what the whole deal. Anything you want about your book? Tell us about your hugs and kisses. I'm going to call it your hugs and kisses website. tell us about that, and then we'll have a little more conversation before I have to go to the Boomer inbox and make some announcements here.
Thanks, Pete. My book is called All Day Energy: 100 Ways to Boost Your Energy Now. Usually sells for about $10 on Amazon. It's also available at Barnes & Noble and all the electronic formats. You know, we put it out there. It's been out for about 5 months. It's been really a lot of fun. And I think the reason it's doing so well is because it's short and right to the point. Like, I'll have a tip, and then I'll have a famous quote, and then I'll have little things you can do, kind of bulleted, almost like it was a blog entry, and then I have an affirmation at the end, and I have, if you want more information, you can check out these three websites or read this book. So it's really hands-on. You can open to any page. There's 100 short tips. Some of them involve exercise. Some of them involve food. Some of them involve sleeping. Others are mental attitude kinds of things. So those are the four things that I really feel give you energy: eating well, moving your body, sleeping well, and then your mental outlook. So I tried to put those things in there. I have great pictures in the book, so if you want to get to know me or you want to be inspired by some of my crazy family members and friends, we have lots of friendly pictures. So, like, I try to put something out there, a tip, and then I demonstrate it with a little picture. It was fun. I wanted something that real people can, you know, learn from. My thing that I think I do really well is taking hard concepts and making them easy, and I didn't want like a chemistry textbook. I wanted it to be really down to earth. So it's full of tips. My videos on my website, ePlayHug, I haven't been making any new videos lately because I've been promoting my book, but ePlayHug has 42 videos. Each video is less than 5 minutes long. They're all totally free. It's just a fun project that I did. And the EAT videos are all healthy eating tips. Sometimes it's a recipe that I made. Sometimes it's information. The play tips, oh, they're just fun tips, like maybe on moving or travel or anything that's playful. And then the hug tips are ways to accept yourself, love yourself, self-care, helping others, loving others kinds of things. And all the videos are either done by me or a guest videographer who submitted to me and I loved it, or I saw it on the web and asked for permission. So they're not all originals. I have credit for whoever's, you know, video, of course. And, you know, it's just another creative project. It started with the videos, and then the videos actually kind of got me going on my book. And now I just speak. I just had a corporation in Oklahoma order my videos, order my books, and they're doing a workshop, and they're going to include health and wellness in the workshop using my book. So that was, you know, a real nice thing. I'm going to be talking to American Express in another, I think it's 4 weeks from now, on healthy living to their employees, because they're hoping to save money on health insurance if I come in and talk to the employees.
So now, when you're out doing your speaking, do you solicit these companies, or do they find you?
A little bit of both. Monday and Tuesday, I spoke this week, and people found me. I don't know. I love creating a buzz. I don't know. I had two presentations. I've got a radio show today at noon. It's a little bit of both, I guess. My focus right now is I would like to be on the Dr. Oz show and the Today show. So that's a push for me. That's, you know, my goal. So I'm hoping that, you know, somebody will hear me from the Today show and say, hey, let's put her on. We'll see. That's, you know, good to have a goal.
What's the radio show you're doing this afternoon?
I am doing a show. It's the Terry Laurie show, and we are talking about boosting your energy.
What station is that on?
You know what? I don't have any of the information in front of me, Pete. Stop asking me hard questions.
It's the Terry Laurie show. Is that it?
It is.
Is that what you said? I don't know what station she's on either. Or
I don't know
on
what
it.
Station either. It's an East Coast show. So we're taping it today, and then we're running it while I'm gone. So we're... Yeah, so I don't know. And people find me. There's a buzz. I love it.
There you go. Create that buzz.
I don't know. You know, I do a lot of networking, Pete, to really be honest. I just had an event this Saturday where I got 50 participants together, 14 vendors and 4 speakers, just for women. So I do that a lot, where I get women together, and that's just fun for me. We all grow and learn that way.
Sure. Well, I tell you, it's always a pleasure when we talk to you. I walk away invigorated, and frankly, sometimes I walk away a little bit tired because I can't keep up with your energy.
It's always great. Oh, it's always great to talk to you.
Well, enjoy your mountaineering as you leave for the Alps?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. I don't even think I'd want to fly over the Alps. It's awfully high. Like I say, enjoy that. Travel safe. Come back and we'll find out exactly what happened and what kind of inspiration you have and what kind of new business you're going to start because you were doing yoga on top of the Alps.
No new business. I promise. I'm raising my left hand. My right hand has the telephone, and my left hand I am raising. I am not starting a new business. Please say hi to Deborah.
I will do that. I certainly will do that. And thank you very much for being our guest. I'm going to call you. Are you going to be available for a few minutes after the show?
Of course.
Okay. I'm going to give you a call after I sign off the show. And thanks again for being a great guest. It's always fun talking to you. And good luck in your travels. Travel safe.
Thank you, Pete.
Thanks, Ed. Take care now.
You too.
And we've been talking to Sid Hoffman, an incredibly energetic woman. Just just unbelievable. Every time we've had her on the show, she's been exactly the way you heard her today. So it's nice to know that she's still doing quite well. We're going to have a few a message here from the Boomer inbox, so we'll be back with that just very shortly. It's time to open the Boomer's Inbox. We pass along tidbits of information that were sent to our inbox and we found interesting. Notes come to us from sources including customers, PR agents, and listeners. If you have something of general interest that you would like to have on air, send it to boomersinbox@gmail.com. That's boomersinbox@gmail.com. We'll try to get it on air based on time available. Boomersinbox@gmail.com. Add a couple things in the Boomers Inbox today. One of them is that tomorrow, the 13th at 5 p.m., there is an event at Burt's Bistro in Surprise, Arizona. It's a networking event. It's also an event to meet some interesting people and some artists and a photographer starting at 5. And the guest speaker later on in the evening will be Kimber Lanning. And Kimber Lanning is the executive director and founder of Local First Arizona. She'll be talking about keeping your business and your shopping in particular local, and what that means to the state and how important it is to help reduce unemployment, how important it is to help reduce or increase the tax base and so on and so forth by shopping local at least 10% of the time, make the 10% shift. And that's at 5 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, Burt's Bistro. Kimber Lanning is the speaker, and she'll be coming onto the program a little bit later in the evening, I think around 6, if I'm not mistaken, 5:45 or 6. But you can email us at host@boomerandthebabe.com, host@boomerandthebabe.com, if you want any more information, and we can make sure that we can send the information out to you. The next thing I want everybody to kind of keep in mind on is the grand opening charity event of the new Steinmark show store in Surprise Town Center, Surprise, Arizona. That's at 13712 West Bell Road in Surprise. The reason I want you to know about that is because there are tickets for sale. That is a special grand opening for people that are holding a ticket. And the ticket benefits for $5. It benefits, in this particular instance, Valley View Community Food Bank. So we'd like you to make sure that if you're interested in supporting Valley View Community Food Bank, this is a fun way to do it. There's going to be some free food and hors d'oeuvres there. And the ticket also gets you $5 off your total purchase, so you get your $5 right back. The ticket is the $5 originally goes right to Valley View, and then you get your $5 back if you participate at the store level by having a $5 off your purchase, and you get 20% off up to 2 items on that day and that day only, and that is Tuesday, September 18th from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m., and we hope that everybody will avail themselves of that opportunity while the tickets last. You can get the tickets at Valley View Community Food Bank at 107th Avenue in Peoria, or you can give us drop us an email also, again, at host@boomerandthebabe.com, and we'll be sure to get you a ticket and give you some information as to who in the community might have some more tickets other than ourselves and the food bank. Maybe somebody would be closer to you. So with that all being said, we hope you enjoyed the show today, our discussion with Sid Hoffman. Fantastic, energetic woman, and we hope that you will be able to do some of her suggestions for healthy eating. Again, that's All Day Energy, 100 Ways to Boost Your Energy Now, and it's www.sidhoffman.com is a way to get hold of her, and book is available on Amazon and electronic media as well. So With that, we'll say goodbye. We're going to be back at 11 o'clock with another show, a national show, the Boomer and the Babe Show, talking about savings bonds, United States savings bonds, and how you and what you can do with them as far as cashing them in and the values and some of the intricacies that might be involved in savings bonds that many people haven't even heard about. So enjoy that show at 11 o'clock. We'll be back for that one, and we'll be back again tomorrow with more great guests. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll talk to you again soon. Take care now. You've been listening to Arizona Boomer Radio with Pete Peters and Deborah Brown. Arizona Boomer Radio is produced by the Boomer and the Babe Incorporated and can be heard Monday through Friday. You can sign up for their online magazine at boomerandthebabe.com. To reach the Boomer and the Babe, email host@boomerandthebabe.com or friend them on facebook.com/boomerandbabe. And on Blog Talk, you can friend them at blogtalkradio.com/boomerandbabe. Follow their tweets at twitter.com/boomerandbabe. Be sure to make the second half of your life the best half of your life. And remember, at 50, you're just getting started.